Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we are back with another, yes, another Survivor post-season interview. And this is one that I didn't think we were going to get initially, but I am very excited to say that we're going to be speaking with Mr. Davey Rickenbacker here on the podcast today, and we'll talk about Davey's experience in Survivor David versus Goliath. But before we get to that, the first lady of podcasting is here with me in the studio. Nicole, how are you?
That bell is so loud.
Yes, what, you're not a fan?
It's like piercing.
I mean, we're a little late in the game for that. Nicole is had a long weekend, and we have a lot of sick kids at our house.
Oh,
it has
gosh.
Not been that fun.
It has not been fun at all, and I'm actually excited for what we're about to talk about, because I'm about to go use it.
Yes, okay. Well, before we get to our conversation with Davey, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor. That's why I have Nicole here, because this is something that is very near and dear to her heart. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Joybird Furniture. Joybird believes you should never have to settle when it comes to your home furnishings, and you should always have the freedom to be boldly original. And Joybird Furniture makes amazing custom furniture, and they have sent a chair for Nicole and I to test out, to talk about the Joybird furniture experience. And so I bring up that you have had a horrible weekend, because I know that there is one of the few things that gives you joy is the beautiful chair that we have from Joybird Furniture.
Yes, I feel classy and trashy when I drink my canned wine on it.
Okay, well, you don't have to talk about the canned wine.
But the canned wine is really good, too.
No, we have no nice furniture, but we have...
Well, because we have disgusting children.
Right. We have a three-year-old and a five-year-old that ruin everything. So we got this chair from Joybird. We got the Elliot chair, which, one L, the Elliot chair.
And I picked it out because it just looked beautiful.
They sent us steps every single year. I've never had a piece of furniture. Well, first of all, I've never had a piece of furniture that I didn't have to put together myself. But this, that every step of the process, we would get an email about what was going on with the construction of the chair.
It's like when you're pregnant, yes. You get these yes. alerts on your phone of what your baby looks like throughout each week. It was the same thing with this chair. And I compare it to my baby.
Yes. And it's a perfect size. And we both sit in it, and we have shows that we watch on Netflix in the room. And you can
cuddle, or you cannot cross the middle line, the invisible middle line.
I didn't know about the invisible middle line. That does not come with the chair. With Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture that is made to your unique taste. They turn your ideas into a reality with hundreds of styles and options from mid-century modern to contemporary classics. They have a wide range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options available. We were not interested in those. We want
to pretend they're not there.
And they've got free personal design consultants to help you nail down the perfect design. And they also have a 365-day home trial. So skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. Whoa. If you don't love your Joybird, return it for a full refund.
We won't be doing that.
Hassle-free in-home delivery. They'll even remove all the packing materials. How did it work when they brought it here?
Oh my God, this guy came to the door. It was very nice. He comes in, he takes it out of the box. He's like, where would you like to put it? I was like, oh, I don't know. Can you bring it into the bedroom?
Well, hey, all right. Easy with this story. Yeah.
And he took it out of the box, and he like dusted it off, and he made me sit down and try it. And I was like, I don't want to get up.
Yeah. Free returns within 2 weeks of delivery. They even sent us a card. We got a card from them.
They did.
Hope you're enjoying your chair.
And we are.
See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Rob. Go to joybird.com/Rob to get an exclusive offer of 25% off your first order by using the promo code Rob. Nicole, I'll see you on the chair.
Don't cross that middle line.
I am very excited to bring in another survivor to talk about this past season of the show. I'm very excited to answer a question that I know a lot of the listeners have had for some time. I can finally give you the answer to...
Where is Dave?
Because he's right here. Mr. Davey Rickenbacker. Davey, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Rob, man? I'm doing good, dude. I'm happy to finally be here with you, you know?
Yeah, happy to finally be able to chat a little bit about the season and looking forward to catching up a little bit today.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I do want to apologize that it's taken me so long to, you know, get with you guys.
Stop, Davey. Yeah. Okay. It's fine. Yeah, you have a life.
Well, yeah, I did want to just say really fast, because a lot of the fans knew that I was breeding dogs. And the reason it took me so long to get to you guys, I had an unsuccessful pregnancy and I was dealing with all of that. So, yeah, I needed some time before I could get to
you. No, so I didn't know this about you. You breed dogs?
Yeah, so I breed Siberian Huskies as like a side hustle. It's more just a passion of mine. It's not really to make money or anything. And Rufio, who's my top dog, his daughter, Luna, she got pregnant and we're still trying to figure out what actually happened, but the pups were born stillborn. And yeah. And it happened right around finale time. So I've been dealing with Survivor and I've been dealing with dog breeding.
I it's a world that I know nothing about, but, sorry about the troubles there and hope everybody is doing okay on your end. We're recording the video for this, and so I'm really just blown away by your whole setup over here, Davey. For the people that are listening to the podcast, can you give us like a like an audio tour, like a MTV Cribs?
Yeah, man, absolutely. Let's see. This is a new laptop, so tell me if you can see everything here.
Yeah, so just could you paint the word picture of what would we be seeing if we're watching the video?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So over here we've got. Basically, this room is called my kill floor. It's a reference to The Walking Dead, an episode where Carol and Maggie are together in a killing floor. Mm-hmm. And I call it the kill floor because I've got all of my Walking Dead stuff in here. I got some of my cosplay action on the walls. I'm working on my Survivor wall, which I wasn't ready to show you guys today. It's on the back of the laptop. And basically, it's just my weapons collection, my Walking Dead portraits. There's a portrait of me here in cosplay as King Ezekiel with my Tiger Shiva. I've got my Don't Open Dead Inside closet. That's where I keep all of my cosplays. And I got some zombies in there, too. So, yeah, this is just my cool little spot to hang and hopefully podcast now and maybe do some YouTubes and things of that nature. So yeah, this is my cool little 40-year-old virgin man.
Yeah, this is a nice setup here, Davey. And you know, I knew you were a big Walking Dead fan, but I had no idea you had this whole setup going on the kill floor.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I would definitely consider myself as a Walking Dead super fan. Since I got back from the island, I've been slacking on it a bit, but you know, the new season's coming up and I'm ready to hop right back into it.
Yeah. And then you have a sign that's over there behind you. What does that sign say? Walker Stalker?
Is it this one here?
No, on the bottom, a little lower, down below.
Okay. So I did my most recent cosplay. I go to Walker Stalker cons.
The Walking Dead convention, right?
Yes. So for those who know, it's the Walking Dead convention, and me and my squad, we're called the Calf. We go every October, and this October we actually cosplayed as characters from the Walking Dead Telltale games.
Okay.
So I was Lee from the Telltale games, and I had like an amputated arm, and I had my Clementine with me, and we walked around with these signs that said Walker Stalker will remember that. And if you've ever played the video games, they always have, you know, when the character goes through some type of development, it'll say Lucy will remember that or Carl will remember that. Mm-hmm. And so we wore that for the costume contest. We didn't win this year. We won last year. We didn't win this year. But yeah, that was just a prop for our cosplay.
Davey, you are on a whole nother level with your Walking Dead fandom that I didn't even know people cosplayed from the video games.
Yeah, man, we had the... you know how the video games have the black lines? We did black lines on our faces for the makeup and everything. It's pretty legit. I'll have to send you some pictures after the podcast.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got some Walking Dead questions for you here, but I'll save them for the end of the show. I don't want to spoil anybody on anything. I want to get your take on stuff. But before we talk about Survivor, I would love to just get into a little bit about your background in terms of being a fan of the show. That you talked about how when Jeff brought you up on the stage at the finale, you got to talk about about how you were a fan of the show for such a long time. How did you first get into following Survivor?
Okay, so I've always been a fan of reality TV. I think that maybe the first reality show that I really got into was The Real World.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
which season?
It was not the first season of New York, but the second season with Coral.
Back to New York. Yeah.
Back to New York.
The Miz. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, Mike the Miz, right? And then, of course, I find out that that's John's buddy. I can't wait to meet the Miz.
Yeah.
But so I started out watching The Real World, and I got into Fear Factor, Royal Rules, and, you know, all of those reality shows just got really interesting. And I happened to be at church one Sunday, and the pastor stood up and made an announcement during the announcements, and he was like, well, we've got a local celebrity who's going to be on this season of Survivor. And at the time, I didn't know what Survivor was. I think I'd heard of it, but I'd never seen an episode. And I remember turning to my mom, like, Mom, what's Survivor? And she was like, well, yeah. So what's funny is the woman who was a member of my church, my mom was her boss.
Okay.
And that woman is actually from your season. And
what?
Her name is Joanna Ward.
Yes.
The crazy hallelujah lady.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, glory. Yeah. That was the first season that you watched, the Survivor of the Amazon, because Joanna Ward is went to your church.
Yep, absolutely. I think she was a guidance counselor or a college student at the time. And my mother is a guidance counselor or a retired guidance counselor. So she was her overseer, mm-hmm. and she invited her to the church. So it's like full circle. Wow.
Yeah.
My mother got Joanna to the church. Joanna got me watching Survivor. And now I'm here.
And now here we are. And so does Joanna still go to your church, or does she not live in the area anymore?
So what's so crazy is, when I was at that church, it was South Carolina. I'm from South Carolina, and she was in school in South Carolina. And now I live in Atlanta. And it just so happens that she lives here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I reached out to her to invite her to my watch party. She said she was going to come, but she didn't show up. So I didn't want to bother pester her too much. But no, she doesn't watch the show anymore.
Yeah.
She said, I talked to her, she said she kind of keeps up with a few people, but no, I don't know.
I don't know if she watched the show before she went on either. I think that was part of the problem.
Yeah, before.
Not to get too sidetracked, but Davey, she did not, I never got to see her on in the game, but then I met her at the finale and she was not happy with me.
Why? What did you do?
She said, because I don't have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I worship the magic eight ball. And I said, no, I can assure you that's not the case.
Wow.
She said, no, you
told me about that, but she didn't tell me who.
Yes. She said that I pray to the magic eight ball. And I said, no. There's been a misunderstanding here. That's not true.
Well, let me just say, I don't want to call her a kook, but she's like that in real life. Like,
you know what?
Like that at church. It was the running joke.
I'm sure she's great. I never got to know her. I tried to say hi to her, and she was like, nope.
Yeah.
Heisman. Yeah. You are the magic eight ball guy. Sorry. But anyway, you and I share that connection, which is really fun. Anyway, so what's life been like after the show, Davey?
Life's been pretty cool. Of course, I was dealing with the death in the family and all of that. But aside from that, you know, I've been getting great response from the fans. Of course, the Black community, I spoke about that. You know, my goal into going to the show was not only to win $1 million, but, you know, representation matters. And I wanted to get the Black audience involved in Survivor, because I feel like that's one thing that you guys talk about on these podcasts, like gender roles. Mm-hmm. And we don't really talk about race as much. And that's something that I think about a lot, because I feel like going into this game is so much different for people of color. But we can get into all of that later. But yeah, so for the most part, it's been pretty great. I've been surprised about the fan response that I've gotten. Like, I really thought that I was going to have a lot of haters after the season.
Yeah.
And
why?
I haven't gotten in. So, I mean, just, you know, talking to past players and hearing, you know, their stories about going on Reddit and you know, people trash talking them or going on Twitter and people trash talking them. And I actually had something to combat that. I was prepared to save all of my hate tweets, and then to the end of the season, I was going to read them like,
mean tweets,
their hate tweets. But it didn't happen, man. I guess that speaks to, you know, me just being genuine out there on the island, and, you know, people seeing through that are seeing towards that, and knowing that I went out there, I had fun, and, you know, of course I didn't win, but I had fun doing what I was doing, and I feel like I left a lasting impression on the game. And that's one thing that I really wanted to do.
Can we go back to what you were talking about how race figures into Survivor? And one of the things that you talked about was that you wanted to be somebody who people could look to that was on the show. Could you just talk a little bit about how popular is Survivor in the Black community? Are there a lot of people in the Black community that watch Survivor, or is it a show that really takes some convincing to get people to check out?
Yeah, 100%. It's a show that I have to convince my friends. I the running joke that I had with Gabby on the island, where I would be like, Black people don't watch this shit. And, you know, that was the running joke. You know, I feel like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe more Black people are geared toward reality shows on different networks, and they just have not given it the opportunity because, you know, the representation hasn't really been there. I remember after watching you guys this season, of course, I went on a binge-a-thon, and I think it was Survivor Guatemala that, like, had no people of color on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I'm not watching this all the way through. I mean, not to be like, you know, I'm only going to watch when Black people are on there, but, you know, to see someone that looks like me on a show, it matters. It just like with Joanna, she went to my church, and of course, after that Sunday, I went and watched, and I'm like, oh man, I can get on there and I can do that. If she can do it, I know I can do it. So yeah, I feel like race, or Black people in general, haven't given it a shot, and I feel like now that I've done Survivor, I won't know if the fruits of my labor have done well until season 38 when I post on my Instagram, you know, Survivor's coming on tonight. I want to see that response to see if they're like, oh, we're definitely watching. This is my new favorite show, blah, 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 blah. Or if I see some messages like, oh, well, I was only watching because you were on there. And that's what we're really hearing.
Yeah. And I think that the other part of that is, you know, to try to like get out the word in getting more people in the Black community to go through casting and to, you know, put tapes out there. And I think that, you know, that might be something that's not even occurring to a lot of people, but it's a really great opportunity.
Yes, 100%, Rob. And I don't mean to sound cocky, but, you know, in my casting experience, like me going out there and me being the only Black guy, I'm like,
okay, good?
There's no way you're not going to choose me. I don't want to say it's easier.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say it's easy for us to get casted, but I think we have a better chance of getting casted because we're people of color.
Okay. All right. So I want to bounce around a little bit today. So one of the things that we said we're going to do is, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since the end of the season. I've done a few of these interviews where we've gone through everything. And so what we wanted to do was be able to bounce around a little bit more with Davey. So I have a ton of questions from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. And so we'll, you know, bounce around. And if there's anything that we want to drill down on, we'll do it that way rather than going through, you know, from day one. Tell us about when you woke up and you got out there. I think this will be a lot of fun.
Okay, cool. I'm looking forward to
it. Okay. All right. You know, Davey, one of the things that we really haven't heard a lot about in terms of, you know, I've been talking through this season with a number of your other castmates, but we didn't really hear a lot about what was going on during the times at the Vuku tribe. Could you tell us a little bit more about what was going on there? You guys went to that one tribal council, and then ultimately it was pretty quiet over there after that.
Yeah. The Vuku tribe, man, that tribe swap, that was something that we all kind of knew was coming, but we weren't 100% sure. We knew that B's leg was an issue, and we knew that she was kind of juggling whether she wanted to stay in the game or not. But we knew that if she did leave, that it might be a tribe swap. And so you saw it in the episode. We swap tribes and the Davids have the minority in every single tribe. So I'm automatically thinking, wow, we are, can we curse on this podcast?
Yeah, you can go for it, Davey. This is your podcast okay, today.
We're fucked. The word that I used to use instead of the F word.
Yeah.
Well, the word that I use on the island instead of the F word was frenzy. So in tribal, I'd be like, Jeff, they're mind frenzying me. And my cats would love that. It made no sense, but Gabby would get a kick out of that. But okay, so we go and we swap on the Vuku tribe. We have myself, Natalia, Alec, Elizabeth, and Kara. And then Carl goes off to Exile Island, which was cool. Of course, Rufio's trying to mess with me now because he knows I'm talking about his friends. But
the Vuku tribe.
Yeah, we get to the Vuku tribe, and I'm kind of I'm not bummed totally that we're in a minority. I'm a little excited because they're coming back to my home. Me and Elizabeth, you know, we were original members of the David tribe, and they're coming to our home. So I kind of felt like I had a slight small advantage just because I knew the area. Of course, I already had an idol, so I wasn't sweating too much. Alec was a cool guy. I don't have much experience with meeting surfer dudes, but I've always, you know, love the archetype on just watching reality shows. It would be cool to meet one. And Alec was a super cool guy. Kara and Natalia, I think I said this in one confession. I was like, oh man, these are the hottest chicks in the game. I hope I don't end up like, well, I didn't say it at the time. I hope I don't end up love struck like Dan, but that's what I was thinking watching it.
It can happen.
Yeah. So Kara, she was really a cool person. Natalia was a cool person. So yeah, I felt like we had a strong team, not as strong as Tiva because they had John and Dan over there and Allison, who we all perceive to be the strongest woman. So I felt like, you know, if anything, we wouldn't have to go to tribal because we weren't the weakest tribe appearance wise. Mm-hmm. And then we did go to tribal.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
No. So that first vote where Natalia ends up going home, that I think it was unclear to us, you know, how much of that was premeditated in terms of, you know, was this the plan going in? Because the episode really made it seem like it was kind of like a spur of the moment decision by Alec.
Yeah. So, you know, me and Elizabeth, and they didn't really show this in the show, but me and Elizabeth really had a connection. We had a spiritual connection because we're both believers. And of course, I didn't want to get rid of Elizabeth, but I felt like, you know, it was a situation where at the time I thought it was either me or her. So in the beginning, I was kind of throwing her under the bus just a little until I saw sparks in Alec's eyes. And he's like, I think of the exact moment when I knew something else could happen was when Natalia came to the shelter. She woke all of us up and she wasn't really barking orders at us. It seemed that way just because you guys were watching it. She was talking like that because Elizabeth was coming. But I saw it that way, but Alec did not. Alec was like, well, why the heck does she have to bully Davey? And of course, me and Alec had a whole day of bonding. Like, we went to catch crabs together. You know, we're doing guy stuff together. And so even though I know he knew that I was probably the better move to get rid of, he was like, well, this is my new friend. Why is she bullying him? And so the plan between me, Alec, Natalia, and Kara was, you know, to get Elizabeth out of here. Of course, there was talk about maybe someone having an idol, which I had. So, of course, I debunked that immediately. I was like, guys, I was with Elizabeth the whole day, man. Like, she took me with her to search for idols. We didn't find anything. So I was really working Elizabeth. I was really working Kara and Natalia on that point of just selling that no one had an idol, knowing that I had an idol right in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And I think that worked in my favor, you know, because the plan was to go into tribal, pit two votes on Elizabeth, and I agreed to go ahead and let them pit one vote on me because, I mean, I had an idol. I knew I wasn't going to go home. I knew if I saw something fishy at tribal that I'd be able to whip out my idol and play it and then send whoever needed to go home. So, yeah, that was the gist of that vote. And while we were at tribal, well, you saw the hammock situation where Alec was in the hammock with me. And I was like, man, do you trust these girls? Because this was a conversation we had off camera where I was just like, man, I'm willing to go all the way with you. I'm willing to, you know, get to the merge with you. But I'm scared shitless of a freaking all girls alliance, because, you know, you watch Survivor and you see these things. And there was even talk about an all girls alliance on the David tribe. And I mean, I was blindsided that very first vote with Larissa and when Jess went home. And that was when the talk of an all-girls alliance was. So I wasn't sure 100% that I could trust Elizabeth at that point. And the fact that it was three girls and two guys, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Alec, can we trust these girls? And he was like, he thought about it for a second, like, should I really tell David the truth? And he was like, no, I don't think I can trust these girls. And that was like the ding or the bing, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, yep, I can run with this. And I said, you know, Alec, if you get a funny feeling at Tribal, you need to give me some looks to let me know that it's not Elizabeth and you want to go with Natalia or Kara, then let me know. And he did just that. They didn't really show it too well. He kind of looked to the side and I kind of looked to the side and did a few winks with Carl over on the bench and everything. But yeah, that's 100% what happened. I love Natalia to death, but, you know, thinking about it from a game standpoint, if we can get a majority, if they're going to slip up and give the Davis the majority, you know, then of course I'm going to take it.
Okay. This is a question from Justin Feinberg. Who does Davey think would have been the next person to leave if Vuku went to tribal council again? So you guys went to that first tribal council and then you guys were safe for the next two.
Yeah. Okay. So let me explain this dynamic of the Vuku tribe once Carl joined. Okay, so of course, Kara decided that she needed to do some damage control, and she did a very good job of that. But she kind of rubbed Elizabeth wrong. And throughout the whole David tribe experience, Elizabeth rubbed Carl wrong. So, and it was frustrating with me, you know.
And was that all over the bed, or there was the bed was like the culmination of the problems?
It was everything. Like, Elizabeth had this thing where she would start projects and not finish them. I think she started a crab trap, didn't finish that. I think she started a water filter, didn't finish that. She started the bed and didn't finish that. And just really bugged Carl. And I honestly think it speaks a little bit to the fact that Carl was a recruit. And I think that, you know, stuff like that is harder for them to just let slide by, where, of course, that stuff got on my nerves, too. But as a fan watching it, I'm like, OK, dude, worry about that when we get to whenever it's really crucial in the game.
I thought the Godfather was a big fan.
Carl is a big fan of the show. However, he was, how's the correct way to say it? Seeked out. They wanted a certain look for the season, and mm-hmm. they actually seeked him out. And it just so happened that he did watch the show. So he wasn't a recruit in the traditional sense, but he, you know,
so
they
he was
go
a,
looking for him.
Yeah, he was a fan and he did not apply that they found him.
Right. So yeah, Carl and Elizabeth had, and I even said that as my pitch to them about getting rid of Elizabeth, I was like, well, Carl and Elizabeth don't get along. So if you guys vote me out, then y'all just going to be back at Tribal again, which mm-hmm. kind of could have worked. Didn't really work in my favor, because then Alec was like, well, yeah, David's saying if Carl's not good with Elizabeth, then let's just go back to Tribal and get rid of her. But anyway, so, where were we with that question? You said Vuku.
So it would have been Elizabeth, you're saying, that would have got voted out?
No. So there was that. And then Kara, when she was doing her damage control, she was throwing Alec under the bus, too. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, just saying, wow, he's a freaking challenged beast. If we let him get to the merge, he's going to dominate us all, which is something that me and Carl and Elizabeth talked about together as a David trio. And, you know, I really felt like Alec, well, you saw the season, Alec was a challenged beast. Like, I think that had we lost that challenge, it would have been difficult, but I would have had to try to convince Carl to realize that we need Elizabeth in this game, especially because we're at a numbers disadvantage when it comes to David versus Goliath. And Kara's not a threat. You know, we can use Kara. We've already built a friendship with her. Maybe we can use her in the merge. Alec probably needs to be the one to go. And believe it or not, Elizabeth pitched the idea of us throwing a challenge.
Yeah, because there's three Davids and two Goliaths, right?
Yeah. She pitched the idea of us throwing a challenge. And while I wasn't 100% behind that idea, of course, I was considering it too. But Carl, again, being maybe not a diehard fan of the game, you know, he's a competitor and, you know, he just really wasn't going for that. Mm-hmm. And one thing that Carl did that I really was pretty mad at him about, he tells Alec about Elizabeth wanting to throw a challenge. And I think that's something that was a snowball effect to, you know, Elizabeth getting out of the game once we hit merge.
So, right. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
I think it would have been Alec. I think I would have pushed for Alec to go home, but it's Survivor. You never know.
It's hard because you've got two allies that don't see eye to eye and, you know, could be trying to, you know, sell the other one out.
Like, I was like put in, I think out of all of the David groups that everyone was put into a separate tribe, I was probably put in the worst situation of them because I had Carl and Elizabeth who didn't really get along.
Yeah. This is a question. Ben Martell wants to know, well, what was your relationship with Kara like? I think that was like a little bit of a blindside. I think it was at the final seven when you took Kara on the reward to tell her that you wanted to vote out Nick, that it was sort of, you know, thrown out there that you and Kara had a very close relationship. Was that something that was a thing throughout the whole game and we only saw it right at the end?
Yeah, man. And that's something that was frustrating for me watching the season back was, you know, of course, I knew I wasn't the winner at the end of the season. So I'm realizing, you know, they're giving more camera time to certain people's relationships. And I felt like I was an integral part in the season. And I'm thinking, you know, why aren't they showing me and Kara's bond together? She was like a sister to me out there. I do think that she's got the charm to where she's able to charm anyone. But I think for the most part, our relationship out there was genuine. We were both 30 when we played the game and we had both just gotten out of pretty serious relationships. So we kind of bonded over that. We would do this once a day thing where we would go to the hammock and she would push me in the hammock and we would just talk about life, you know, not even the game so much. And yeah, you know, her just being a millennial and her being the I connected with her because, you know, she was single. She didn't have any kids. You know, the others, they did have kids. And I felt like, you know, just Kara was just a genuine person. And going through it, once we start talking about the merge, she used to tip me off to a lot of the things that the Goliaths were doing. So that's how we built that relationship. You know, I would tip her off to things vaguely that the Davids would be considering. I would let her know if she wasn't safe. She would let me know if I wasn't safe until she screwed me in the very end. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think Kara was a very close ally for me. And I'd say she was, well, we're definitely close friends now. I went out to San Diego recently for my birthday and she made sure I had a blast. So, you know, yeah, Kara's just, she's definitely my sister in this game.
Okay. Was that a big betrayal that she was one of the four people that voted against you at six?
It was a big betrayal. I understood why she did it. And
yeah, well, I mean, what else is she going to do at that point?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I can't give Mike all the credit for that move, because, you know, I really think that Kara and Angelina deserve some credit for that move because they were my friends. And if they're struggling with, you know, trying to get me out, you know, I guess that speaks to, you know, just me being good in the game. And, you know, I want to say it's flattering. It's not flattering because, of course, I went home and I lost my shot at $1 million. But it was a good move on her part. And I don't think she gets enough credit for it.
I want to talk a little bit about the early days of the game where we first got to see what was going on at the David tribe. This was a question for you about that first tribal council from Martinez. From your point of view, who would have gone home first if Pat did not get medevaced?
I'm so happy that Martinez asked me this question because I'm sick of listening to the podcast and people dancing around the answer. I'm going to tell you right now, 100%, Nick would not have been the one to go.
Oh,
100% do. Now, I will say I'm not sure if it would have been Pat or Larissa, but I think it would have been one of them. You saw a little snippet of me talking to Carl that first episode about Pat getting under people's skin. And when I saw the meeting going on, I wasn't a part of it when they were talking about getting rid of Nick. But then Carl came over to me right after the meeting and he's like, yeah, so you know what the plan is. The plan is the plan is Nick. And I'm like, what? You're blindsiding me. So let me go back just a little. So when the first day when, you know, I make the alliance with Carl, he's like, I trust Jessica and I trust Nick. So, of course, Carl tells me, you know, I can trust Nick. So me and Nick are going out searching for idols together and stuff. You know, I'm thinking, you know, this is the guy I'm going to be with for a while. And then Carl comes and he tells me that. I'm like, what happened? So immediately I went into defense mode. I was like, what? How could it be Nick? Like, he's been searching for idols with me. He's going to blow up my game. So I was already changing Carl's mind in that moment. And what I also did was I went to Nick and I went to Gabby. So I was already working it. I told Nick, you know, you got to pick up your slack, dude. You got to start working a little bit more around camp. I know I was searching for idols with you, but they didn't catch me. So you're going to have to really pull your weight now. And he made a 100. I mean, what is it? 360 or 180? He made a full turnaround. And yeah, 100%, it would not have been Nick.
Okay, I mean, interesting.
Yeah, we you know, playing Survivor, you want to try to stay as strong as you can pre-merge. And I think, you know, having Nick on our tribe for those challenges was smart too. So I would have been able to turn 100%. You know, I had Christian as an ally, I had Gabby as an ally. I really had everyone as an ally at this point. So I would have been able to not be a big voice, but, you know, pull people aside and be like, you know, nah, it needs to be Pat or Larissa.
We didn't see too much of your relationship with Nick until after the merge, when you guys go out and then find that merge feast idol together. You guys were close from the very beginning of the game?
Yeah, you know, that's another thing that was really frustrating. You know, just talking about the screen time that we all got and the edits that we all got. And it played into my insecurities a bit. I'm like, why aren't they showing my relationships with certain people? Is it because Survivor has a certain audience and demographic that they have to cater to? Is that why they're not showing the black guy making friends with anyone? But, you know, I feel like later I understood they kind of showed the relationship with Nick and Christian more because of what happened later in the game when Christian betrayed Nick and Nick betrayed Christian. It was better for the story. But yeah, me and Nick, like the first day when Nick's running around making alliance names with everyone, when me and him are all searching for idols together, he approaches me about an alliance name and the idea of the name he had freaking sucked. Wait, my alarm is going off. Can you hold me 1 second?
No problem.
Sorry about that. I've got this freaking alarm that doesn't even work, but it just goes off from time to time.
Yeah. Was that an alarm on your house or an alarm clock?
It's an alarm on my house. I rent, and it's something that was just left here from the previous owner, and I just keep it because sometimes it wakes me up out of my slumber. But anyway, and so the alliance name that Nick had for us freaking sucked. And I'm thinking, so I denied it. I was like, no, dude, I don't think I want to.
Now, hold on. Now, is the alliance name that you say sucked, is that the one that we ultimately came to know?
No, Dick okay. doesn't suck.
Okay.
Oh, God. What did I just do? yeah, so Nick's going to kill me for telling you guys this. But in college, Nick went by Kentucky. He didn't go by Nick. He went by Kentucky. And he was like, hey, Davey, you know, I want everyone to call me Kentucky. I'm like, dude, I'm not calling you Kentucky. Your mama named you Nick. I'm going to call you Nick. So what he wanted to do was he wanted to combine Kentucky with Davey in a name relationship. And so the alliance name he presented to me was Kentavy. He's like, yeah, man, we could be Kentavia. I'm like, what? I'm not going on national TV with an alliance name called Kentavia.
I was like, that's a risky move, because I mean, I think that the conventional wisdom on Survivor is say yes to everything. If, you know, if I got like, hey, Davey, me and you, final two, like, you're crazy to say, you know. But
so I didn't say no to the alliance. I just said no to the alliance name because I came up with a better one. I was like, well, dude, let's just use your freaking name and my name, and we can be the dicks. So, which I'm pretty sure production wasn't too happy about, because we're Davids and we're supposed to be painted as heroes.
Yeah, that's why they couldn't show this in the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Because I think Bradley said dicks on his
he
season.
He did.
So I was like, well, I mean, it was that, and then the fact that they probably wanted to
maybe
play
they got
up
letters.
The Mason, yeah, they wanted to play up the Mason-Dixon alliance as much as possible for the falling of it. So I got it. But, you know, yeah, now the dicks are going strong, going long, and we're having a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. So you and Nick are tight early on. And anybody else that you had a quick bond with in the beginning of the game?
I had a very quick bond with Christian also. Christian, of course, I had a very quick bond with Carl, us both being minorities in the game, both black men in the game. And I want to go back a quick second and talk about me being the alternate. When I found out that I wasn't told no, that I wouldn't be on Survivor. I was told that I would be an alternate.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, immediately I'm thinking, well, they must have some freaking pro athlete out there, because there's only going to be one black guy on the season. So who do they have that's better than Davey Armstrong Rickenbacker? So then I get out to Ponderosa and I see three black men and one black woman, and I'm geeked. I'm like, wow, okay, I've already got some people that, you know, I can connect with. So yeah, of course, me and Carl made quick alliance. Me and Christian, of course, bonded over him being a nerd and me being a blurred. Me and Christian would sit up for hours at night talking about the zombie apocalypse and talking about Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers. And so, of course, I had a quick bond with him. My bond with Gabby was pretty cool. However, after that first blindside with Nick and Christian throwing her under the bus and saying that was the reason why they couldn't let me in on the vote, that kind of hurt her. But for the most part, those four were my closest allies on the David tribe.
Yeah, I want to go back to that where that vote where Jess went out. Now, these are a couple people that you said you had really tight relationships with, and Nick and Christian, and then they vote the opposite way of you on that first time you guys go to tribal council. Was that good enough for you that they just basically blamed Gabby for it?
No, I handed it to him. I was like, dude, what the heck are y'all doing, man? And of course, Nick played it up. He's like, man, Gabby's a genius. She did this and she did that. And the first thing I told Christian when it was just me, him, and Gabby was, Christian, you're going to have to watch her because I'm not sure about her. So I guess they used that to the advantage of Davey was already unsure about Gabby. So let's just go ahead and throw her under the bus. And the reason that Gabby says that they didn't tell me was because I was so close with Carl, and because she was a part of that discussion about Nick being the first one out. And Gabby saw Carl come to me immediately and tell me that it was going to be Nick, even though I already debunked it to him and Gabby. She saw the bond that me and Carl had, and she really just didn't think it would be in her best interest to include me on the Jessica Bond side. And honestly, you know, I don't know. If I was there, maybe I would have went along with it. Maybe I would have tried to do something to change it around a bit. But I think everything worked out for the best.
You mentioned your reaction when you got there from the pregame. Now, you had a very unusual set of circumstances where usually a Survivor person, they know for weeks in advance that they're going to go out there. You got a phone call according to, you know, what they talked about in the first one. Basically, like you had a day's notice to go out there. Now, could you talk a little bit about that? Is that right? You had basically one day to get your life in order to go play Survivor?
Dude, I had one day to get my life in order, and the funny thing is, I was working my dream job. I have my master's in public health, and public health's an area that
I didn't know you had a master's degree.
Yes, yes, yes. I have my master's degree in public health from Tuskegee University, same place I got my bachelor's degree in environmental sciences from. And I was working for the Center for Disease Control here in Atlanta. And,
you know, so you're ready. You're ready for everything to go down.
You know, exactly, exactly. So, you know, having my dream job and working in the CDC with the public health, like, you would think I would have been torn with the answer. You know, they called me and Lynn made the call and she was like, "Hey, Davey, there may be a spot open for you." She started with, "I don't think you're going to make 38 as if to make me say yes to 37 when I was going to say yes anyway.
Yeah.
And she was like, "You know, I don't know if you're going to make 38, but there could be a spot open on 37. Would you do it if we had that spot?" And I was like, "Hell yeah." And so she hung up and then she called me back and I got the answer.
What a great move to start off with. Hey, so it's looking like next season, it's not going to work out, but if you can drop everything, we got a spot for you, and the plane leaves in about 8 hours. What do you think?
Exactly. Yeah, I got to give it to Lynn on that one. But yeah, I was going to say yes anyway. I mean, I've got my dream job here. Then I've got my dream here. So I'm like, hey, man, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. You always said after you got your degrees that you were going to apply for this show. And, you know, God saw it fit that this was in his will. You've got to go for this opportunity. I have very supportive parents to where I was able to get all of my bills in order to direct pay. And they were able to watch my dog. And my mother's allergic to my dog. That just speaks to, you know, how supportive my parents are, that they want me to follow my dreams. And I was able to. And now I'm here full circle.
Okay. So let's circle back to Survivor. After you went and did the show, were you able to get your job back?
I was not able to get my job back. And that's another thing that, you know, I was talking to you about not really being in the mental state to do the podcast because, you know, I quit my job for the show. And, you know, some people would say that's a big mistake on my part, not having a backup plan. But, you know, I don't regret it. I do wish that, I mean, I don't think it's over. I'm still interviewing for positions with the CDC. But now I'm like, you know, there's other career areas that I want to tackle. So I'm not even sure if I want to go and work full time for the CDC again. But I was working my passion, doing social media at the CDC, and it was great. But unfortunately, no, I could not get my job back. So that speaks to it, man. I mean, if you want to go for your dreams, you're going to have to sacrifice a few things. And it may not pan out the way that you want it to. But I think you'll come out on top in the end.
Yeah, I do think it's about you don't want to have any regrets one way or another.
Right. And a job's always going to be there. I mean, how many times do you get a chance to play Survivor? Not often. So, of course, you know, and my parents being super supportive, that helped a ton. So, yeah, I have no regrets. Yeah.
Okay. This is a question from Isaac Christensen. I really want Davey to go into this frame of mind about being cast so late and being thrown into the game as an unknown quantity. Were you mentally prepared going into Survivor? And what was it like not having a lot of time to form the other opinions of the players in the pregame Ponderosa?
Yeah, I do feel like the players did have a little bit of an advantage over me in the fact that they were there for however long they were there. But I had gone through the casting process, so I had seen a few of them. Gabby was at my casting finals. Nick was at my casting finals. So I was able to, and maybe that helped in, you know, me being so close with those two. It wasn't like I was just thrown in a pit of fire. Like, that, you're not supposed to be talking at Ponderosa anyway. So I don't think I was in a horrible position going into it. If anything, maybe I was in a better position because you saw me out there enjoying myself on the island. It was like it was still brand new to me. It was like it was still a dream to me. It was like, oh, my gosh, am I really on Survivor? I went in and I went to Fiji and the next day I'm on the island. It's like maybe that helped me in a sense. Maybe that helped bring out the true essence of Davey Rickenbacker.
Yeah, I do feel like because it's such a spur of the moment thing that I wonder if it helped you play looser.
Yeah, 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 I think so. You know, I don't know how long they had in advance to know, but I'm pretty sure they you know, overthought a whole lot of things, watching certain seasons and all of that. And, you know, I never stopped because I was pitted as an alternate. I never stopped working out. I never stopped watching Survivor. I never stopped, you know, just preparing for what I thought would come in season 38. So I kind of feel like, you know, yeah, I was able to. Everything happens for a reason. I'm a religious person, and God always knew I was going to be on the season. So he already had me, you know, going through the motions and preparing for it.
You know,
so
what, yeah, they 100%. Say, God has all the spoilers, Davey.
Exactly, man.
That's true. So speaking of God, that Amy Howard has a question. She said that she was really touched when you prayed for the final three finalists. Is that something that you did at each tribal council?
So this little rubber band I'm wearing right here, you can't see it, but it says pray first. And that's something that I've always taken into account for my everyday life. I pray before every major decision that I make. I pray before every minor decision that I make. And out there on the island, you know, just having that security with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is what kept me there for 36 days and kept my mind sane. I think that if I didn't have that sense of security, I would have just driven myself crazy. So yeah, 100%. That's you know, that we used to travel to the challenges in the boat, you know, that destroyed Pat, and that would be my time to that would be my time to just meditate and talk to God. And you know, I would say things like, God, don't let me leave here without winning an immunity challenge. Don't let me leave here without finding an idol. Don't let me leave here without, you know, getting my mother to the family visit. And he allowed me to do all of those things. Maybe I should have talked to him a little bit more about me making it to the final three. But, you know, I feel like in the end, I was the sole survivor, S-O-U-L, because, you know, just having that spiritual connection with him and him granting me so many opportunities and having such a great time out there, that speaks to just my upbringing and my religion totally.
Did all of the prayer that you did when you were out there on the island, did that change your relationship with God in any way?
It didn't change my relationship until I got back. I went to a couple of sermons where they were telling you there's specific ways that you need to be praying. And I wasn't really praying those ways. So I guess looking back on it and watching the season now, I can see, you know, it's kind of hard to explain. I can see the conversations that I had while I was on the island and some things that maybe I should have asked for more that could have gotten me further. But I still think that what I went out there to do, it was already written. And so maybe 100% it was going to happen that way either way.
Yeah. I do think that there is something about Survivor. And I think the way that it sort of like breaks you down and leaves you with nothing. I think it can be a very spiritual experience for people.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I definitely had spiritual awakenings out there. You saw the moment when I was thinking I was Moses and I was in front of the in front of the water. That was just really me praising God and giving him, you know, all the praise for me being there at that moment. That's what, you know, and to be on the first biblical season that Survivor has ever done, mm-hmm. like when they dropped that banner and it said David versus Goliath, like I did feel a spiritual awakening right there. It was like, wow. And my name is Davey. I know it's not David, but you know, my parents have always made the connection with Davey and David. I'm named after my grandfather. His name's Davey. But, you know, they still make that connection with the Bible. And yeah, 100%. I think, yeah, maybe I did have a spiritual awakening out there on the island.
Okay. One of the questions that we got from a lot of people, Jessica Sterling asked us, could you talk about some of your secret hiding places that Christian referenced? That this was the first we heard of this when I interviewed Christian, and he said that you had spy shacks and you had them everywhere. Is that true? And two, was it a Velachos inspired invention that you came up with?
100%. That was, you know, a heed to Tony. And I had a lot of little Easter eggs where I gave shout outs to past players. I think one tribal, I shouted Joe out when Jessica was voted out, I was like, wasn't me, baby girl. I got that from him when he was talking to Desi. And even when I was on the jury, you know, coming back dressed pretty nice, I got that idea from Desi because she was turning heads out there. So, yeah, I tried to pay homage to a lot of I even cosplayed Philip one day.
On the island?
On the island. I took the feathers from the chickens that Elizabeth lost, and I put it on my head, and I was just, you know, I just had him laughing that day. So yeah, that was 100%, you know, just giving a shout out to Tony, who's one of my favorite players.
Now, did it work? Yeah. I mean, did you, like, because we saw Tony where he's like, okay, I'm going to go over there, hide, I will hide behind the well, and I will hear, I mean, did you overhear anybody while you were in a spy shack?
That's why you didn't see it, probably.
It didn't, Rob, work.
They weren't helpful. My spy shacks weren't helpful. It was more me just having fun out there. You know, being out there and having the ocean right in front of you, you can hardly hear anything when people are talking. So I think it was just some dramatic flair for me. I mean, it is a TV show. It's reality TV, but you know, when you've got cameras on you, you think about, you know, funny things that, you know, might air and have people laugh. And they got it in air because they weren't helpful at all.
Davey, what's the maximum amount of time you spent in a spy shack?
Sometimes I would, and I wouldn't even call them spy shacks. I think they were just, you know, camouflage. Sometimes I would just go there and to be away from it all, because, you know, being around those people, sometimes it can, I'm sure you know, sometimes it can weigh in on you. I don't think I ever would do it any other time at nighttime, really. So maybe it just, you know, just to gather myself and maybe talk to God. Maybe they were my little spy shack cathedrals, where I would just go and get a sense of mine. I would play hide and seek here and there with the cameramen, though.
You would hide from them.
Yeah, I would hide from them. And it was no strategy.
Where's Davey?
Yeah, exactly. It was no strategy in that of just, you know, me playing at nighttime because I couldn't sleep, and, you know, maybe them dozing off and me checking to see if they were asleep, and then, oh gosh, where's Davey? He's disappeared. So, yeah.
Would they go look for you? Because I kind of feel like if one person is missing by themselves, I feel like that they maybe don't care.
They would go looking, but it wasn't like a frantic thing like, oh my gosh, we gotta find him.
Frenzy. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a mind frenzy.
So you mentioned some of the shout outs that you did to the other players. This is a question from Jay Macchio. Who were some of your favorite Survivor castaways from the first 36 seasons? Do you have any favorite players that you had coming into the show?
I talked about cosplaying Philip. And let me speak about favorite players. When I hear favorite players, I'm not basing it on people who've played the best.
Right.
I'm basing it on people who have entertained me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I look for in a favorite player. And Philip was freaking entertaining, dude. And he actually reached out to me and told me I played a great game. And that's just amazing in a sense. You know, these past players who are favorites of mine. Philip, we talked about the Spy Shacks with Tony. Tony is probably one of my favorite winners of all time. Of course, there's Jeremy, who I used to call Jeremy my Obama in all of my freaking confessionals. Oh, that's one thing I left out that was also frustrating, was that me and Christian, I think the moment that we sealed the deal was some cool wordplay. I was like, well, I'll be your Jeremy if you'll have my fish back.
Yeah.
And we, you know, so Jeremy.
Hey, but that's funny that both you and Nick both said, oh, perfect. This guy is my fish back. Right. And both of you picked out the two people that won.
Yeah, I listened to that podcast. Sorry, Christian. Love you, bro. Let's see. Women that have played. Big fan of Sandra. She's amazing. Sari. I'm also a fan of Jatia. She was crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, me too. Me too. We're tight.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I didn't know that she was an AKA. You don't know what an AKA is, but it's a black sorority, and they're like, they're not sisters to my fraternity. But yeah, I just found out from Tasha that she's an AKA. Who else? Coach is very entertaining to me. Tyson. The list can go on and on. Like, that's why I love Survivor, because they have such interesting people and people that I resonate with, people that, you know, I went out there and I wanted to live up to their legacies. I wanted to go out there and be memorable, and I think I did that.
You did a great job. Okay. This is another question Jessica Sterling asks. Before Carl went home, would you say you had more loyalty to Carl or to Nick? I know that the three of you guys were tight at that point in the game. Did you have one over the other in terms of your tighter ally?
It depends what the category is. And I want to actually throw Christian in that mix too. I saw Christian, Carl, and Nick on a level trust field where I trusted all three of them the same amount. And, but I would, whatever, like, how can I explain this? I trusted Nick with strategy information that maybe I wouldn't have trusted with Carl, because Carl was a recruit and he may look at it differently. I trusted Carl in a sense with, you know, me both being a black man with him, and to where I had some black guilt. And that's actually one of my biggest errors or mistakes in the game, was me having black guilt. And for people who are confused, black guilt is basically, you know, you feel like you're withholding something from another person of your race that you should be sharing. And that may be, that actually could have been my million-dollar era, was telling Carl that I had an idol and making Gabby feel alienated. So I don't think I had allegiance to either one of them more or less. Yeah, I would say that all three of those guys, I was loyal to about the same.
Can you talk a little bit about the Carl blindside? Because I, you know, certainly talked it through with, in all four of the previous interviews that I did with people from your season, they all have a very different perspective on it. And Nick really was annoyed that Christian went ahead and did that at that particular point in time. But you seem to keep a closer relationship with Christian after that point. Did you sort of see where those guys were coming from on the Carl blind side?
Yeah, 100%. And Christian would joke with me about this. You can't see it because the cameraman wasn't focusing on me, but in the hammock when I was sitting across from Carl, if you could have seen my face when he was telling everyone like what to do and barking orders and all of this stuff, I'm like, oh my God. And I actually pulled Christian aside. I was like, Christian, if this is not what you think is a good idea, let's talk through it and let's figure out another way. Because I mean, I'm on board with it, but only because, you know, Carl's being so forceful with this. And to which, I mean, and Christian, I could see he was a little hesitant, but he didn't come forward to me. But, and that's why I wasn't really angry with him. And not to keep talking about Carl being a recruit, but I feel like that's kind of a move that, you know, people who aren't super fans of the game would do. And that's why I don't want to say I was a little bit relieved when he left, but I couldn't be mad at them, because it was almost in a sense a weight off my shoulders, you know, that I didn't have to keep tiptoeing around it. And now I didn't have black guilt there anymore. And I could, you know, really let myself free and play the game how I wanted to.
So Carl was just such a big presence, and you felt like that you were sort of just locked in with him for a couple of different reasons. And then when he was out of the game, it sort of freed you up to be able to, you know, play a little bit more of a freer game.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl's my big brother, like, and in a sense, I kind of was threatened by Carl too, here and there, because he was such such a loud person when it came to what moves to make. Like if we could have made it to that final tribal council, Carl could have easily tried to take credit for some of the moves that I had made or that Nick had made. And I think this is something that Gabby actually also struggled with Christian, you know, Christian getting credit for moves that she actually made. So in a sense, I was a little threatened by Carl, but I said to myself, you know, I wasn't going to let, I don't want to get too deep into race here, but I wasn't going to be the, we've got too many negative energy. We've already got too many negative images of people of color, in television. And I didn't want to be that guy that was going against Carl. And I'm glad that I didn't, because then you saw Natalie and Jeremy going at it. And if they would have, if America would have seen four black people going at each other on national TV, what are they going to think from that? So I'm glad that, you know, we got two sides of the coin.
I want to go back to when you guys ended up coming out of the blind side then of, I guess it was after that vote, when you guys got to the family visit. You were there with, then it was Nick and Angelina and Mike, and they were talking to you about a final four, and you had said that you, that wasn't the group that you wanted to go to the end with, but I don't think we ever got in the show what the group that you wanted to get to the end was.
You know, my final four or my final three shifted day and day. Like, you know, and that was something that I struggled with. And maybe that was an error on my part, not locking down a final three. You know, I wanted to go to the end with Mike and Angelina at one point. I wanted to go to the end with Christian and Gabby at one point. I wanted to go to the end with, you know, Carl and Nick at one point. And I think the thing about me is, the thing I struggled with was like friendships and loyalty out there, which is I'm sure everyone struggles with out there. And I knew I was never going to betray my actual friends. And friends and allies, I think, are different. An ally, well, of course, they're different. An ally is someone that you can work with, but you may not have an emotional connection with. And so, I knew that Nick was playing a better game than me. And I knew that Christian was playing a good game. So I necessarily did not want to go to the end with those guys. But at the same time, I wasn't looking to betray them, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get from you that you weren't really scared of Christian as a somebody to, like, you would have gone to the end with him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I would have went to the end with Christian. And I know the fans are probably saying, you would have lost to Christian,
but who knows? Who knows, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think I would have been able to gather a few votes. I mean, John's such a great competitor that I knew he loved the move that I made. I think I would have been able to voice to Gabby, you know, that these were actually moves that you made and Christian didn't make, and I could have, you know, gotten her on my side that way. So yeah, I think I would have had a better, honestly, I think I would have had a better shot with Christian at the end than I would have with Nick.
Okay, so when you look back at, how you might have zigged or zagged, do you feel like that you should have tried to solidify that final four that was on the family reward more, or do you feel like that you should have pushed harder to go in a different direction?
I think maybe I should have pushed harder for that final four reward. Believe it or not, Angelina was a friend of mine out there. Like a lot of the other people, you know, they kind of saw her as fake and wishy-washy. But I think I second-guessed myself because of the Jabini 3 and the fact that they were so tight. And I kind of wanted to loop Kara. I wanted to have Kara by my side because she was my closest ally from Vuku. And I'm like, when we first hit merge, the first thing Nick told me was, don't trust Angelina. And so I kept that with me. And little did I know, he kind of did trusting her, and he forgot to come and tell me, like, oh, we can trust Angelina now. So that's why I ended up choosing Kara for that reward as opposed to Angelina. And if I had chosen Angelina, I don't think she would have betrayed me. I don't think she would have backstabbed me and gone after me. I think she would have been true, and I could have been in that final four, possibly as the fire maker or possibly with immunity.
That's interesting. So that if is that a regret that you didn't take Angelina when she, because she says to you like, hey, Davey, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I did. We did take you, and I got the rice for everybody, and I probably would have won that challenge.
Yeah, I think that was one of the rare moments where I just let my human emotions take over, honestly. I wouldn't call it a regret because I'm happy with the way that things panned out, and I'm happy with my relationship with all of them now.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, oh, where was I going with that? I feel like that was around. So, Jeff, you only saw Angelina pitch her idea, but everyone pitched to me why they should go. I believe Mike said he would take me to dinner or put me in a movie. I believe Christian, you know, was talking about us both living in Atlanta. Nick, I can't remember what he said, but I was going to pick him anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Did you get to pick which Mike White movie you got to be in? Or
the Emoji movie. No. I wouldn't get to pick which movie. Kara, I don't remember what Kara said, but I had the relationship with her that I guess my relationship with her and my relationship with Angelina was kind of equal. Maybe a little bit more with her because she was Vuku. But I think I got a little angry with Angelina just because her reasoning. I kind of wish she wouldn't have said the rice at all. If she would have just been like, baby, I've had your back. You're my friend. You know, whatever decision you choose, I don't care. I probably would have chosen her. But because she brought up the rice and she was like, I did this for you. I'm like, no, you didn't do that for me. You did it for the tribe. And it's a selfless act. You don't have to keep bringing it up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then,
that's interesting.
Then you pan to, yeah. And then you pan to her confessional of it being my $1 million mistake. So it could have actually been my $1 million mistake.
Yeah. And did you feel confident about your ability to make the fire?
No.
Oh, actually, see, no. I thought that you were Mr. Apocalypse. I thought that you would have been, that would have been right up your alley.
Yeah, man. I mean, I can make it, but I wasn't a pro with it like Carl was or like Angelina was or like Gabby was. They were really fire makers. I mean, I could have done it, but yeah, I wasn't confident.
Okay. Jason Weatherholt says, the best wrestling promo I've seen in a long time was when you with John's jacket in the cold open after the episode where he was voted out. Was that something that you did all on the fly or did you plan to say that? Can you talk about that? Because it was really funny how they did it in the episode where you're talking about like we see you like, hey, guys, like it's all a game. I'm glad like we're all being like mature. It's like I just took the jacket from the mayor of Slamtown.
Okay, I'm gonna blow your mind for a second. This is Jacket Gate Part 3.
Okay.
So a fun thing that I used to do was after people were voted out, I would take the clothes that they left and I would hide them for myself. And sometimes I would present them as tokens to my friends. Like when Dan was voted out, I took his jacket, presented it to Nick like a trophy. When Alec was voted out, I took Alec's jacket and presented it to Allison, like proposing to her, you can now work with me. And so when John was voted out, I remember Angelina saying that John had willed her his jacket. And I was like, that means John's jacket's back at camp. So I went to get John's jacket. And 100% in that confessional, something just came over me. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can make like it's a wrestling match. And I can slam his Slamtown's jacket. So, yeah, that was 100% just that was the essence of Davey Armstrong Rickenbacker. Like I was able to be myself in the confessionals, the self that I didn't think I could be in front of the whole tribe. And that's why I think my confessionals were so gold, because I was able to just talk into the camera and be me. And if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see what I mean. So follow me at I Am Davey on Instagram.
Tim Westine wants to know, were you always a vote for Nick or did you consider changing your mind at the final tribal council?
I said, you saw me say when I was voted out that whoever made this move, if you make a bigger move, then I'll vote for you. So going into tribal council, I didn't really know who had really made all of those moves. Of course I thought Mike had made the move towards me, but I think Kara deserves some credit for that too. And then Nick comes by himself and wins immunity after immunity after immunity. And of course, once I got to tribal council, you know, I wanted to hear everyone out. There's a cool secret scene where you hear me talking about Angelina's social game and the fact that she made me a close friend. So I took all of that into consideration. I took into consideration that Mike was kind of the strategic force on getting me and Christian out. And so, yeah, I was 100% open. But I really think that Nick just really sealed that deal by not only the relationships he made throughout the game, but winning those immunities back to back to back collectively, I would call that a bigger move than voting Davey out of the game.
Okay. This is a question that I've been waiting to ask you about. Let me play you a clip from the show, and then I want to talk about it.
You know, me being out here, I already feel like I'm a part of an apocalypse, which is my other dream.
Okay. So we know that you are a longtime Walking Dead fan, but yes. I've never heard the apocalypse described as a dream. So, Dave, could you talk a little bit about that? I mean, is that a dream of yours to go through the apocalypse?
Yeah, man, it's weird. It's a bit of a fantasy of mine. I mean, I'm such a big Walking Dead fan that, you know, I'm thinking, like, if this ever happens, I would have the time of my life surviving, and me and Rufio would go around like King Ezekiel and Shiva and dominate the world. I don't know.
Does it have to be a zombie apocalypse? Like, what about nuclear war?
Doesn't have to be apocalypse genres are my favorite movie genre. I think I asked on Twitter recently what was everyone's favorites, and I've been going back watching those. I don't know. It's just something about starting from scratch and getting to be not a different person, but getting to be a feral person in this after apocalyptic world. Yeah, man, I don't know. Apocalypse, it's so weird. I guess I'm just a geek. I'm a nerd. But I felt like being out there on Survivor was very apocalyptic, you know, building our own shelter and killing octopus and getting hermit crabs and opening coconut. And I kind of feel like I already lived that. I lived two dreams in one. I was on Survivor and I got to live through an apocalypse. So yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, that is interesting that, you know, I do think that the appeal of it is that, you know, there's never a boring day in the apocalypse, right? I mean, there's no sitting in traffic. There's no, you know, every moment is you're on the edge of your seat, right?
Yeah, it's like a kid that, you know, all parents and adults are wiped away and you have no rules. Maybe that's what it is. No rules, no taxes. You just get to live your life young, wild, and free. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you this question from Rachel Darwin. Says, I'm not sure what exactly, but I'm curious for more of an explanation about what happens when people talk to you about your PT Cruiser. So you talked about how, hey, people see you, especially Caucasian people. You drive a PT Cruiser and people want to what do they talk about with the PT Cruiser?
Okay, so, I don't know. It's so weird. Like, I will be at gas stations and I'll just be pumping gas and people will literally be like, nice car. Like, okay, I don't drive the PT Cruiser anymore, which was nicknamed the Cream Machine. That's another story.
Cream Machine?
Okay, let me go into that story real quick. So I didn't even drive my PT Cruiser before I went to Survivor. I just knew that, you know, it would help me get casted. So my car, this is the car that I had while I was in college, and I am a Kappa, which is my fraternity, and our colors are crimson and cream. So when I got on campus and people see this guy on campus with a cream PT Cruiser, it automatically became the Cream Machine because, you know, girls would always ride in it. And it's like this cool ass dude driving this corny ass car. So it became a running joke. So that's the Cream Machine. But yeah, man, I don't know. People just maybe it's my persona and the fact that I'm driving this that makes it makes it look like it's a conversation piece. Mm-hmm. But people just love to. They just love to approach me about it. It is weird.
When you described yourself as a blurred, a lot of our listeners want to know about all of the other nerdy interests that you might have. Okay, so we know about Walking Dead, but what are some of the other things that are different genres or franchises that you're interested in?
Yeah. So I just got back from the Dragon Ball Z movie last night. I'm a big fan of anime. More so the commercial forms of anime like Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, Digimon, all of that stuff. I want to get into more. So anime, of course, I collect weapons. I don't know if that's considered nerdy or psycho. Let's see. I'm a big fan of I like to consider myself a movie buff. So I like movies. cartoons or something. I was going to wear my Hey Arnold shirt, but I decided just to wear this instead. So I'm just, you know, video games in general, Super Smash Brothers. I just added Cochran and Jacob to my Switch channel. I'm supposed to be playing them soon. So, yeah, just, I mean, that's something I struggled with growing up, you know, identifying as a nerd. It wasn't called a blurred back then. It was just you were a geek. Mm-hmm. And I was on the band. I played the trumpet. And, you know, African-Americans, we have this persona of being swaggy or having a lot of style. And I struggled between, you know, being that Davey and being the nerd Davey that likes all of these things. To where once I finally made it to college or made it to my adult life, I was able to merge the two and become a blur. So yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Now, you this is something you talked about on the show where you have a lot of friends that are, you know, more interested in playing sports and stuff like that. Do you find that most of the people that you interact with about your interests are people that you've met over the internet, or do you have a lot of friends in real life, or even a few friends in real life that you have the same interests in?
It's probably a few friends in real life. Most of the friends are the people that I met over the internet. My whole Walking Dead group, I met them all on Twitter. Like, now we cosplay together. So yeah, 100%. When my phone, when the power died, I texted my friend about a concert, and a Survivor fan actually invited me to their concert tonight, and I was going, and I was like, hey, do you want to come? And they were like, no, dude, the Saints game is on tonight. So yeah, my close friends, they're all sports fanatics. And sometimes, you know, it's a little annoying that I don't really have friends that I could just pick up and go with to go see Dragon Ball Z or come over and play Super Smash Brothers. So yeah, 100%.
When you talk about your Walking Dead Twitter group, that just like a group of people? How did that form?
So I'm very weird when it comes to social media. I don't like to follow people that I don't actually know. So there was this one girl, and you can actually see her in the back here. She is the girl right here that played Queen Ezekiel. Shiva. And she would talk to me on Twitter all the time.
A girl was the tiger?
The girl was a tiger. I got to send you that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. My girlfriend broke up with me over that. But anyway. She used to send me messages all the time, just laughing at my tweets. And I would never respond because I didn't know her. And then she started talking about The Walking Dead. And we were like, oh, my God, we got this in common. Let's start a Walking Dead group. And so we started pulling other blurs who are fans of The Walking Dead. And yeah, we became the Calf, which is named for Rick Grimes, the first place that he actually sees living zombies.
Can I ask, so, yeah. Which show is more popular in the Black community, Walking Dead or Survivor?
Oh, Walking Dead, 100%.
Really? Okay.
So I've got some friends that I've known from way back when that watched The Walking Dead, and it could be the fact that I'm always posting about it, but we would just say The Walking Dead.
Is Walking Dead really big in Atlanta too? Because that's where the show started.
And so Walking Dead was big in Atlanta. I've noticed, like, with the Survivor community, it seems to be more prevalent up north and on the West Coast. We have the group chat with our season, and they're always telling how they're getting recognized, and I'm like, well, no one ever recognizes me in Atlanta.
You gotta go somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe once I go to this fans concert tonight, maybe I'll get recognized.
Yeah. Have you been on any of the set tours in Atlanta?
Yeah, man. I actually, when I went to my first audition for Survivor, which was an open casting call, it happened to be about 30 minutes from a city that does the open tours. So I killed two birds with one stone that day. Right after I bombed my horrible Survivor casting call, I went to.
Hey, you couldn't have bombed it that bad.
No. So the casting call didn't have anything to do with me getting cast. This was way back when. The casting call was me realizing, if you're serious about this, you need to make a tape. The tape is what got me discovered.
What did you do on the tape?
On the tape, I ran with my Siberian Huskies. I talked about my Walking Dead. I hosted a big party here at my house, and my friends interviewed, you know, so like throughout the tape, they were always saying one word that describes Davey. I ate dog food. I ate raw chicken. I did everything.
You ate raw chicken in your video?
I ate raw chicken, man. It's weird. I do that from time to time. I'm a weirdo, Rob. Okay.
Wait, why do you eat raw chicken?
It tastes good to me, Rob.
Yeah, you eat undercooked chicken? I mean, and you worked at the Centers for Disease Control, right?
And here's the thing. I used to tell my friends, yeah, CDC says that it's better for you to eat raw chicken. I think I did that out there on the island in front of Carl, and that was his come to God moment, like, oh, yeah, this cat is weird.
Let me go back to the game. Michelle Amy wants to know, do you have a favorite move from the game? Do you have a favorite challenge from the game?
My favorite challenge is 100% the one that I won immunity on. Just because I consider myself a bit of a wordsmith, and my mother, you know, she trained us up, you know, playing Scrabble all the time, and that was a bit of me being an athlete, outrunning everyone and getting to the end and beating everyone at the wordplay. And I didn't even tell my mother that when she came for the family visit. I wanted her to see that live so she could cry. And of course she did cry.
Yeah.
As far as biggest moves are concerned, I think I would have to say the John Blindside was probably my biggest move. Of course I shared that move with Christian and with Nick.
Yeah. Can you talk that one through from your perspective? Cause I know we got it from Christian and from Nick.
Yeah. Okay. So I knew that at that point, it was still a numbers game for everyone. Everyone was still playing David versus Goliath. And not only was Christian my friend, but he was a David. And I knew that we needed to keep him in the game. So Nick came to me with the information that they were trying to target Christian. And I hadn't told Nick about my idol at that point, but I knew about the still of vote. Actually, let me go back to the freaking merge episode where I was purple as hell. We found that still a vote that episode.
Yeah.
And so, of course, imagine me being blindsided, like, I'm not in this episode. We found the still a vote this episode. But I think they were trying to save it so it would have a bigger impact on the John vote. So Nick came to me and, you know, he was telling me about that. And I was like, no, we can't use the still a vote because that's not going to do anything but maybe tie it. So that's when I came clean to Nick and told him that I did have the idol. And me and Nick went back and forth discussing, you know, who we should split the minority vote on. And it was between Alec and it was between John. And in the end, you know, we decided to go with John because it would weaken Dan. We decided not to go with Alec because I had just been in Vuku with Alec and Nick had just made an ally with Alec. So we kind of thought we, you know, could use him later on. Who knew he would be the challenge beast that he was? Well, we knew, but we didn't know. And so we decided to go with John. And I think I actually told Christian about my idol before I told Nick about my idol. When Nick is telling me, Nick told me that they were going after Christian, not off camera, but before you guys saw it. The second time we were discussing it was in the hammock. So I went to Christian, you know, just trying to figure out where his head was at. And he kind of felt like he was going to be targeted too. And of course I was struggling with, you know, should I play this idol for Christian? Is this just them duping me to try and get me out? So I went and I was just sitting around the fire and you could see something was wrong with me. And Kara actually was looking at me and I was pissed because I felt like the cameramen were zooming in on me. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're blowing up my game. I was talking with Christian, but Kara came to me and she was like, Davey, I see you look like you're worried. I'll tell you this, it will not be you and it won't be Carl. And automatically off in my mind, I'm like, ding. Okay. That means,
Bing.
That means that what Nick, the information that Nick's getting from them is true. Like they're going after Christian. So in a sense, I got to credit Kara for giving me that because had she not been the one to come to me and saw how worryful I was, maybe I wouldn't have played it for Christian and Christian would have went home. So, yeah, that's in a sense how that went. OK, and then I made the big mistake of telling Carl about the idol. I had that black guild and then that made Gabby feel like she was at the bottom of the alliance. So I kind of blame myself for, you know, them turning. I kind of blame myself for the David 5 not going all the way to the end.
Wow. Yeah. So just over that, you feel like that was the thing that broke up the Five Davids?
Yeah, I think it was 100%. You know, I had an idol. Carl had another fire. Nick had still a vote. Kristen had an idol. What did Gabby have? She didn't really have anything. I mean, I think she even joked that if we were Captain Planet, I would be the heart. And yeah. I don't think that wasn't like she needed to have a move under her belt at that point to feel like it was a level playing field. And me telling Carl, and this is another thing about him being a recruit. He came back to camp and he told everybody why we did what we did. And I'm like, oh, my God, dude, I told you to keep it a secret. He was like, yeah, we knew you guys weren't going to think we go after John. So we chose John. And that made Gabby feel like she was on the outs because she didn't know about anything. And I had only told Carl like a few seconds from Tribal. So, yeah, if I had to go back and do it, I probably wouldn't have told Carl, but he had told me about his idol nullifier. So I was guilty that he told me about that way back in Vuku. So that's why I ended up telling him.
Yeah. But I don't think you should beat yourself up over that, because I think that a lot of the damage, you know, from talking with Gabby too, I think a lot of the damage was kind of done even in the beginning where, in that Jessica vote, which you know, had nothing to do with. And then, you know, those guys, you know, in Christian and Nick, you know, talking about like, oh, it's Gabby did that. And there were problems between Gabby
you're
and
right,
Carl.
You're right. That definitely played into my mind on why I shouldn't trust Gabby 100%. So yeah, you're right.
Okay. A lot of people want to know about, when you went up on the rock and, you were giving cover for Nick, and you went up. You're twirling. Yeah. And I talked to Wendell that week and he gave the explanation, the backstory on that. Could you talk a little bit about that?
So my fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, we have an aura for being like the pretty boys of the black fraternities, and we step with canes. I wish I had a cane in here. I'd do a little step for you guys. And so we twirl with them, but you know I'm a Walking Dead fan too. So, of course, that was a little bit of Morgan from The Walking Dead twirling his stick. So I went over to The Rock, not only because I wanted to make a distraction, but because while we were walking, Carl came and joined us. And I wasn't sure 100% if me and Nick just wanted to find this on our own or if we wanted to find it with Carl. So once Carl just kept walking, I was like, okay, let's just let Carl go with Nick. And then I'll go over here and hopefully create some type of diversion. And I can't believe they fell for it. And yeah, so they found the steal a vote. And also, actually, let me go back to the steal a vote clue. When I saw that steal a vote clue, I didn't have to show Nick that I found that. It was a point in my game where I had the idol already and I did not want to have too much heat on me. So I'm like, okay, let's just go ahead and give this to Nick. And so, you know, that was something I struggled with, having that idol on me and having too much power because I wanted to be under the radar. So that's why I just allowed both Carl and Nick to go ahead and get the steal a vote.
You know, the idea of too much power in the game, was that something that was really on your mind a lot? Because it seemed like when you had gotten wind of that Nick might have two idols, that seemed like that was sort of like a breaking point for you where you said, oh, we got to get rid of Nick. If Nick's got two idols, got to get rid of him.
Yeah, that was 100% the breaking point. And, you know, I struggle with, you know, him being my friend and all of that. But, you know, as a fan of the game, if this guy's got two idols, he definitely can go all the way to the end. When in actuality, I think that if Nick did have two idols, he would have considered playing one for me if he had the opportunity. But yeah, that speaks to a little bit to the greed of the game and you having too much power in the game and how the game changes your mind at day 36. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how that went.
Okay. Speaking of you and Nick's relationship, Edward Morris wants to know, how was your experience at Impact Homecoming? So can you set that up for the listeners?
Yeah. Okay. So For those of you who don't know, well, everyone knows because you watch Survivor. John is a wrestler, a professional wrestler.
Yes.
This is my Slam Town buff.
Do you have a job in Slam Town, by the way?
I do not have a job in Slam Town. I think that's just the Brochachos game.
You're not like in charge of public health or anything?
Maybe in charge of social media. He has asked me a couple of times to do some things for his social media. So maybe I'm the social media mogul of Slam Town. So John asked me and Nick to he didn't ask us. We wanted to go to his wrestling match in Nashville, and it just so happened to be my fraternity's Founders Day. So I was going to be in Nashville anyway. So he invited us to the match, and he told us that we might be a part of the script. For those of you who don't know that wrestling is fake.
Survivor is not, though, right?
Survivor is not fake.
Okay.
So we knew that John's opponent was planning to, push someone. And, you know, me and Nick were both a little nervous because this same opponent actually slammed Johnny Fairplay way back
then. Well, in fairness, a lot of people have.
In fairness, right? And he even said, yeah, I would never do something like that to you guys. Fairplay is just a dick. So we knew it was going to be one of us, but I didn't know it was going to be me because Nick is the wrestling fan. I'm thinking, okay, he's definitely going to push Nick. But in that moment, John knocks his opponent out of the ring. His opponent hits the bar rails, and it pushes Nick's drink on Griselle, Nick's girlfriend. And so Nick's talking cash shit, and of course I jump in talking with him, and the wrestler slowly turns around in slow motion, and he pushes me like a light tap. Like, this dude is huge, the lightest tap, and I fly far back into the seats. I have my shades on my forehead. They fall into my eyes, and it's already my favorite moment of 2019.
I'm surprised that's not a GIF. I haven't seen that.
Oh, don't worry. I'll see you again. Yeah,
see it. Okay. So are you being pulled into the storyline now? Are you and the mayor of Slamtown going to be in a tag team match now?
I have told John that I would like to do a match with him because John actually is a big nerd too. Like, he goes to Comic-Con and all of that stuff. And he does videos as superheroes. So I told him it would be really cool for me to fight him in one of those superhero videos, kind of like a revenge match to Slamtown from the island. So, but no, I'm not going to be involved in the storyline with wrestling. That I think that was a one and done.
Okay, one and done. Okay. All right. Could we talk some Walking Dead? Is that okay? I don't want anybody who doesn't want to hear about. Oh, you got your Negan bat also?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
Okay. All right, so this was a question that we got from a couple of people, but Edwin Johnson wants to know, could you give us the Survivor David versus Goliath cast as Walking Dead characters?
I think that Nick being the country guy that he is, he'd be a cool Daryl to have by
okay,
my side.
Okay, yeah, I can see you that. Know,
Rick, of course, I see myself as the Rick, mm-hmm. Because... my last name is Rickenbacker, and a lot of my close friends actually call me Rick, and this was before The Walking Dead even existed.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I see myself as Rick. I think I could see John as a Negan because of the leather jacket and him being such an animated person. I'd say Dan and Alec would probably be saviors. Because they're like his right-hand men. I can see Angelina being an Andrea because she was misunderstood a lot, and she was torn between the two a lot of the times. I can see Elizabeth and Gabby being... I can see Elizabeth and Gabby being a Maggie and a Beth because both Maggie and Beth... they didn't realize who they were until the apocalypse kind of went on so much. They didn't find themselves until the apocalypse went on further. And I think that speaks to Gabby and Elizabeth in real life. Let's see. Kara would probably be whatever hot chick was on was on The Walking Dead recently. Let's see.
Now, the question that people want to know is, what about, is Carl Carl?
Oh, man. Oh, so first of all, Carl would not be Carl. Carl would be Herschel, because Herschel was like the voice of reason out there for Rick. And that's who Carl is for me. But out there on the island, like, I would always throw the Carl Easter egg in there. And I knew it was never going to air because no one ever knew what I was talking about. I think the only two people who actually watched The Walking Dead were Kara and Jessica. And so I couldn't really talk about it with anyone other than those two. But yeah, I definitely used to call Carl's name like that. And I'm sure that only further solidified him thinking that I'm a crazy mother.
And then is Christian Eugene?
Christian would actually be Milton. I guess Christian could be a Eugene too, but Eugene's a little more annoying. I could bear Milton more than I could Eugene.
What about Mike?
Who would Mike be? Gosh, how did I leave Mike out of this? Oh, Mike would be Father Gabriel. A little scared to kill zombies at first, but once he gets in his niche, he's able to dominate. Yeah, Mike would definitely be a Father Gabriel.
Okay. Davey, do you have any feedback on how the Walking Dead has progressed over these last couple seasons? Are you happy with where it is as a show?
Okay, so here's the thing, Rob. And I'd say
Walking
this
Dead spoilers.
Survive.
Walking Dead spoilers.
Spoilers ahead.
Through season 9.5.
Right, don't open spoilers inside. So I am a super fan of The Walking Dead, which means I am a loyal fan of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
I wouldn't even call myself a super fan of Survivor. I wouldn't call myself a casual fan of Survivor. I would call myself a committed fan of Survivor. So I know the difference between those three, and I'm definitely a super fan of The Walking Dead. That being said, no matter where the universe goes, I'm going to be beside it.
You're going to love it no matter what.
I'm going to love it no matter what. Fear the Walking Dead, we both know, is not the best show in the world. The fact that Rick was taken out of the storyline, you know, I'm a diehard Rick fan, and I'm not really a big Daryl fan. So it hurt me, the fact that they took him out of the storyline. But I'm not going anywhere, and now they're putting him in these movies. So, yeah, I am 100% always going to be with the fan base. Hopefully one day they'll bring me on as a guest speaker on Talking Dead, and that would just be it full circle. But
yes,
100%, I people on Reddit are going to do a 100% ding. How many times did Davey say 100% on this thing? But yeah, I think that I will always be loyal to the fan base, and I don't necessarily love the direction that it's going in, but me being a fan of the comics and them going into the Whisperer War soon now, I think that we can get some of the old Walking Dead that we used to have back in season 2 and season 3. And yeah, so I'm here to stay.
Does it make you mad if Walking Dead fans say they don't like what's going on? It's like, hey, guys, come on, knock it off.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm like, come on, man. You guys, we are loyal to the fan base. Like, just trust the producers. It won't be as bad as Fear the Walking Dead. Let's just see where they're going to go with it. But yeah, in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Okay. Then Gregory McBean wants to know, when you're watching Survivor 38, will you be wondering the whole time where you would have fit into the mix? Because you did so well in Survivor 37, you had such a deep run and such a big impact on the season that is any part of you thinking like, but what if? What if Survivor 38 would have been my season?
Right. You know, I think about that a lot. I don't think I would have done that great because, I mean, the cast hasn't been revealed yet, but there's this chick on 38 that, oh my God, I am in love with her. And she would have had me wrapped around her fingers, okay? So that's one thing. The fact that they have returnees, you know, I don't know if I would have panned too well with those returnees.
Yeah, what would have been, so if you were on a season with returnees, so you're there and you know, it's out there who the four returning players are. Would you have wanted to work with the returning players, or you say get rid of them right away?
I don't know, man. It depends on each one of those four. Like, I don't know if I can answer that. Like, I would want to work with them, but you see in the past seasons of returning players, coach seasons, returning coach season players that like they always go further. Well, they most of the time they go further than the actual fans. So maybe, yeah, maybe we should have got together. Maybe we would have gotten together and got them out of there. I don't know. It's hard to say.
You know, it'll be fun that if there's like somebody on Survivor 38 that's like, yeah, so I wasn't supposed to be on this season, but then Davey, I took Davey's spot in season 38.
Yeah, I think that might actually happen.
Yeah.
It'll be funny.
Okay. So Davey, what's next for you besides this concert that you're going to go to? What are you up to these days?
Okay, so it's going to sound so cliche because we hate it when people go on reality TV and they want to do more TV, but I want to do more TV, man. Like I would do not even really just reality TV. Like I want to get into some acting. I've been taking some acting classes.
I should have took Mike on that reward, Davey.
Right. No, he said he's still going to,
Okay.
Cool with me.
Yeah.
but not even just acting per se, but specifically voice acting. Like the first thing that I wanted to do as a child, I wanted to be a cartoonist. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm a blur and a nerd, like, I do a little drawing. Maybe I'll have my own cartoon someday.
Yeah. Voice acting for a cartoon. What's that process? Like, where do you get started on that?
Yeah, I'm still researching that. The guy who plays Ezekiel in The Walking Dead, Kerry Payton, like, I've had discussions with him about it at the Walker Stalker cons because he played Rafiki in The Lion King. He plays Cyborg in Teen Titans. And, he's told me the kind of just the same thing. You do acting courses and actually singing helps too somehow, but I don't know. I'm still doing the research for that, but long term I would love to do something like that. That's not to say that I won't still be using my master's degree in public health. If I get the call to come back to the CDC, maybe I will. Mm-hmm. But right now I feel like the sky's the limit, man. Let's turn this 15 minutes of fame into something more.
Yeah. Were you in full Ezekiel costume when you were talking to Ezekiel not in costume?
Yes. Yep. I was in full Ezekiel costume. I had my tiger with me and everything, and he was blown away. I've got so many pictures to show you after this call.
Okay. Good. I said it.
But also, you guys can follow my fan page where you see all of the cosplays. It's blurred_lines with a Z on Instagram.
Okay. Now, Davey, did I see also that you are on Cameo as well?
Yeah, man. I'm on Cameo now. Valentine's Day is coming up, fellas. If you need me to serenade your woman, I've got a nice voice.
Yes.
I do happy birthday messages. Anything you guys need, man. Maybe if you want to know some questions that weren't asked here on the podcast and I can answer those for you, that's what Cameo is for. So check it out.
Do you is that the ultimate Valentine to get your significant other a message from Davey?
That's the ultimate Valentine, fellas. Listen, man, once this voice is serenaded, she's just going to go into a trance. Not just for me.
Yes. Yes.
Well, not me, not for me, but for you.
To be the happiest gift that you could bring somebody. I didn't get to ask you at all about Hazel. Arnaud wants to know, would you play Blood versus Water with your mom? Would your mom come back for a season of Survivor?
I asked my mother to just have an answer ready just in case Jeff went to the audience for her at the reunion. And at first she was like, no, I would not. But, after me saying you need to have an answer ready, she was like, I don't know, maybe I would. But my mother is not physically fit to where she needs to come out here on an island. I don't even think she would pass the test.
Yeah.
However, if my younger brother Harold wants to be on Survivor with me, I definitely would do a Blood versus Water with him.
Now, Davey, did you get any heat? Because it sounded to me like when your mom came out on the family visit, I could have sworn she said that you were her favorite. That's what it sounded like. Did any of your siblings say like, hey, mom, did you just say that Davey is your favorite? Is it because he calls you mother? Is that it?
I don't know where that came from. I just started calling her mother. But My brothers know that I'm such a fan of Survivor, and they know that I'm also the one that my mother comes to for dirt on them. She didn't say favorite. She just said most lovable. And I probably am the most lovable out of the three. And I think they realize that.
Okay. Davey, thank you so much for doing this. It was so much fun to go through everything from the season. Anything else you want people to know?
No, I don't think I have anything else. But if you do end up doing another podcast for The Walking Dead, I know you guys are a little over it. I think I listened to one of yours.
I know. We're not true. Like, we got into it, it's a little bit more. I complain about a lot of stuff. I really I did not like what they did. I feel bad because I know you love it and it's like a member of your family and you don't want to speak ill of it.
Yeah,
but
I kind of was mad at you that time, Rob. I was getting ready to tweet you, but I was like, no, he doesn't know me yet.
Yeah, but you know what? I might be that way about Survivor, where there's people that might be more likely to kill Survivor on something. I'd be more like, all right, let's see how it goes. This isn't great. Let's play it out. I don't know, maybe. So I hear you. I know where you're coming from. So I don't have that same relationship with the show that you do.
But man, if you do end up doing another podcast,
we'd love to talk to you about it. Okay.
Cool.
All right, man. Davey Rickenbacker, everybody. Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Davey.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Davey Rickenbacker here on the podcast. Lots of fun with Davey today. We're getting ready to kick off the Celebrity Big Brother season, but we're also hard at work on a lot of other content for you guys with Survivor 38 just around the corner. So lots of good stuff coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, big thanks to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast who make all of this possible. Of course, you can find out more about the benefits of becoming part of our Rob Has a Podcast patron community when you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thanks again to Davey and to you for checking out this podcast. We'll be back with a lot more this week here on Rob Has a Podcast. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.